morning. And welcome. And welcome back to some of our members who returned from D.C. in the wee hours of the morning. You look very refreshed. And we're mindful of members of our church family who are still away or still traveling today. We especially welcome those of you who may be with us this morning for the first time, and we hope that you find kindred spirits in this place. I invite all of you to take some time this morning to fill out the connection card so that we can better connect with each other. And later in the morning, you'll have a chance to reflect on next steps on the other side. I also invite you to take some time to look at the announcements of things that are going on in the life of our congregation. There are volunteer opportunities, there are adult learning opportunities, as well as opportunities for all ages. Please look at those, consider them, take advantage of them. And I especially want to make sure you know that next Sunday at 11:30, we will have our annual financial meeting, and we will hear the exciting news of the state of our finances and what we intend to do with them to further the vision and ministry of our congregation in our community, in our world. That is a potluck lunch with some entree, some food provided, but you can read more about that. We do hope that you will join us both for the meeting and for the lunch and fellowship. The Lord is our light and our salvation and our everlasting love, and has drawn us here. So be strong and take courage and offer your lives, your witness, and your worship.
Thank you. If you are able, please stand for the prayer of invocation. Gracious God, into the loneliness of our isolated lives, you speak words of life and of community. You challenge us in the places we call home, leading us more deeply into the world you love. With your gentle touch, you redeem the broken places of our lives, and you heal the wounded places of the earth. Inspire our worship here today, that we may receive liberation in your word and recommit ourselves to share your reconciling love throughout the world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Oh,
Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? God of wonder, God of hope, you have found us, you still find us, wherever we are, in our working, or waiting, or wishing. You have found us, you still find us. In our hope and in our fear, in our doubt and in our dreaming. You have called us beloved. And we are here because we want to believe that. We want to live that. We want that truth to be the ground of our identity and our confidence and our courage and our action. And we want to help others know that they are your beloved too. You have called us to follow, to let go of things we're hanging on to so tightly, to leave what is comfortable and what we know so that we can follow you towards what seems impossible: justice, mercy, love, kindness, and radically inclusive community. Gather us into your dream for our world. Bind us to each other with the surpassing peace of Christ. Move us to give ourselves completely to the healing of this world, to the extension of your grace, to the voicing of your hope, to the living of your love for all. We pray for those who desperately need hope and love, for people who feel broken, disempowered, angry, hurt, or afraid. We pray for our world and for our country, for our good earth, and for children everywhere. We pray for our president and for all our leaders. We pray for your church in all places. And we pray for those we know to pray for by name, for Ellie Grapentine, Jenny McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Dottie Kassler, Jim Terrace, Thurza Katie, Bob and Barb, Tim and Felicia McDowell, for the Jones family, for John Wallace, for Tim Lee, David, Valerie Nebbia. And we pray our own private prayers in silence now. God of wonder, God of hope, help us to remember that we belong to you, that we are beloved, that we are called to speak love and show love and be love in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, would you please stand for the proclamation of the gospel? These words are from the Gospel of Matthew, at the beginning of the career of Jesus. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. He said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they followed him and left their net. As he went along, he saw two other brothers, also fishermen, James the son of Zebedee and John, in their boat with their father Zebedee. He called also to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. And any children may come forward now for time with Sue Ellen.
I like it when I see kids in worship following along in the bulletin. There's lots of pieces in here that you can do, especially those of you who are reading now. And I was hoping that some of you followed along at this piece here. It's called The Responsive Reading, where you have a chance to read. Yes, almost always the responsive reading is a psalm. And in the Big Kids class, we've talked about how psalms are sometimes praise, sometimes they're a little bit complaining, sometimes they are prayers for help us or help other people. This one's a little bit different. This isn't the full psalm that's printed in here, but when we look at these verses, do you know what some Bibles have tagged it as? A triumphant song of confidence. This is like a pep talk. These words are the ones that you print and you put them on your bathroom mirror or your notebook or your dresser. You frame them and put them on the wall. They are words to pump you up, to encourage you, to say it's okay. Now, I don't know if you noticed that the last verse that was printed here says, wait for the Lord. Now, wait is not a word kids like. I know that. So I looked in other Bible translations. They use the words hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord. We just celebrated Martin Luther King Day, and I know that most all of you have studied Dr. King and the work he did in school, and other people like Rosa Parks. I bet they use these scriptures to give them strength and courage when they saw something that was unfair and unjust. I had fun yesterday looking on the internet and seeing some people that you know. There were 5 young adults from this congregation who, not too long ago, it seems, used to be sitting right where you are sitting. And they went to Washington and Lansing. They stood up, they held up signs, and they spoke out about things that they thought were unjust or unfair. Even kids can do this, kids your size. When you need to be pumped up, have confidence, have hope and faith that God is there with you. So, I made you a little sign that you can post somewhere in your house. We are going to use it as our closing. Come, you want to pass this out to your brothers? Can you pass those down? Is our closing prayer, Lizzie? All right. Now, we're going to say them, these words, this scripture, with confidence, big and strong. Are you ready? All right. The Lord. Even if enemies surround me, I will still trust God.
I know that I will see the Lord's goodness. Trust in the Lord. Have faith and do not despair.
Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, through whatever inadequate words are now to be spoken, may your living words somehow reach through to the core of who we are and who we are called to be, and to what the world more and more is waiting for. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The plot could hardly be more simple. Man walks up to two fishermen, says, "Come with me." And they get up and do it. He sees two more fishermen, says the same thing, and they get up and follow. That's pretty much it. Except that real flesh and blood are moving, living in the story. As our flashing eyes, real courage, considerable loss and risk, and uncertainty, and vision, and pulsing joy, and the beginning of momentous transformation that will ripple from here into the world. And here's another thing. Among those in the story who are interrupted by the call of Christ, very likely is you. And the historical setting of the story is very likely to be right now. I think it would be good to try to see as clearly as we can what was happening in its original historical setting. Two young men are standing thigh deep in lake water, throwing out big nets, hauling them in, throwing back out. This is not for fun. It is their trade. Whatever they catch will amount to their income. These two are brothers, Andrew and Simon, and they do not have a clue that someone at a distance has fixed his eyes on them and is now very purposefully striding toward them. He gets to where they are, stops and looks at them as they look at him. Then he says, "Follow me." And I guess he was smiling as he said the rest. "Boys, I'll show you some real fishing. Come fish with me for human life." Andrew and Simon look at each other, and both can see that the other can feel it. They nod to each other and head for the shore, and they drop their nets onto the sand and walk away, just walk away with Jesus. Why so instantly? Why does it seem so almost automatic? Did they already know something about this man? Almost surely they did, because he was now living in their little town, Capernaum. He had moved from Nazareth to take up residence there, and already he was talking, proclaiming news, good news, he called it, of God's kingdom being very near at hand. People were spellbound by the way he spoke. The authorities wouldn't like it much because he talked about how the power of powerful people wasn't very real, and how God favors the lowly and the outcast, how God was already at work to lift them up while the know-it-alls and the judgmental were on their way down. There was risk in what he said, but there was joy in it too. He could speak so severely at times, but there was also, and mostly, this electrifying gladness in him. and wonders were happening, and a new world seemed possible. Now there he was, standing there on the shore right in front of them, looking into their eyes and inviting them, right now, follow me. And they have to decide, am I in or out? Do I leave my life and walk from my possessions and my place to risk myself with him, his cause, his faith? They see the gladness in his eyes. Without a word, they walk to shore, throw their nets on the ground, and as he turns to move on, they follow. Just up the beach, happens all over again. Two more brothers, John, James, sitting in a boat with their dad, mending their nets. They look as Jesus calls. He calls them as he called the others. And instantly, without a word, they got out of the boat and left their father too. What's left on the lake is a rocking of a boat, mostly empty now, and with a father, mouth wide open. I can't believe they left me. Off they go. Now four following Jesus. And here's the question. Do you recall any moments in your life that bear at least a little of the feel of that? A moment arrives and presents an invitation to do what the core of you strongly suspects is the right thing now. Though maybe it would cost you something, would be inconvenient and challenging and uncertainly, and also possibly thrilling and offering some new way of being. Maybe this was the possibility of some major turning point in your life, or maybe some rather small thing that if you did choose it today and then chose it again tomorrow might very well open up to a very significant change of life. I wonder if a great many of our days whisper that kind of invitation, if we'll hear it, and whether or not it is quite often really the invitation of Christ, follow me. And we do, or we don't. And there's a big difference in what those two may be accomplished by. Because following is actually about saying yes. But not following doesn't have to involve actually saying no. It can mean just saying nothing, doing nothing, staying occupied with other things, or just putting off a decision. But putting off a decision might just as well be saying no. As Harvey Cox said, not to decide is to decide. Did you know that there were other people out there fishing on the day that Peter and John and Andrew and James got their call from Jesus? Out there in another boat were Dick and Jane, Bert and Ethel. Follow me, said Jesus. Well, how safe is it? Said Dick. This is theologically problematic, said Jane. I am in an existential crisis, said Bert. It's hot out here today, said Ethel. And they all turned to tell him, we're thinking about it. But Jesus had already gone. In the most crucial matters It is possible to miss our chance. A moment arrives and it's time to choose, to act, to speak, to say yes to this and no to that, and commit to doing, choosing what is right. And if we do not act on it, how many times do you think we'll hear the invitation to act again? We feel the stirring of the truth in ourselves. If we do not act on the stirring, how long before the stirring ceases? If for the longest time we aren't listening, the day will arrive that we cannot even hear. Put off long enough acting on what you know, and in time, you can even lose the knowing of it. Is this why the story makes a point, not once, but twice, of saying they immediately followed him? Now, why do so many of us find it hard to choose what is right when the right time presents itself? Maybe it is because choosing one thing always means goodbye to the alternatives. Choosing the Christ way means goodbye to whatever else has been controlling you, goodbye to the claims of persons or groups to control you and use you. It means goodbye to the convenience of coasting through your life, or to being a slave to your ambition or illusions of yourself. Goodbye to the grip of your addictions and illusions. Goodbye to your need to be needed. Goodbye to paralyzing fear, to the burden of guilt you really thought you had to carry. But you don't. And goodbye to a narcotized soul and a joyless life. Some of that is kind of hard to walk away from if you've been carrying it for years. No wonder we hesitate when the moment comes to choose the Christ way, when it means saying goodbye to all of that. I have been drawn to a poem by Mary Oliver called The Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the life you could save. I would call that a Lake of Galilee decision. And did you know that the word decision at root means to cut from? As the word incision means to cut into, the word decision means to cut away from. to be left with what you are persuaded is best. So there you are, and there on the lake shore stands God's beloved, speaking to us in a voice that means to be our truest voice. Follow me. And it's time for decision. Invitation to cut free from all that cannot save us, so as to run with all our might to the way that will, to the one who will. And if we say, I did that already, the divine reply may well be, yes, you did, but this is a new day. Time for how you'll decide again. One more thing. Did you know that deciding to follow Jesus was easier for the second pair of brothers than it was for the first pair? It's obvious. When they, the second pair, heard the call, they looked up and saw the other two had already made the choice to go. They saw the gladness and the freedom in their faces. Which is simply to say, when any of us, or any few of us, will decide for the Christ way and take our stand for his way in this world, it helps the rest of us to choose and keep choosing what is right. The courage of your faith can kindle the courage of mine. And so it will grow. It will grow here and beyond here, and it will grow throughout the world. That's what he called us for, to choose his gladness and his freedom for the sake of God's love, to change the world, beginning with us. Let us pray. Hear us, O God, in our desire to say yes. May we rise up, do what is right, and follow. We will do an unusual thing for us now and have a sung response. I invite you to turn to number 358 in your hymnal. We are going to remain seated and sing only the second verse. Following that, we will have a moment of silence. Thank you. The moments that follow now of taking an offering, offering us a chance to give of our material goods, is also an open door for the offering of our lives again to the purpose of God's love in and through us, individually and together. Let us make that kind of offering too. There are those cards that you received in your bulletin which give you opportunity to check new steps you may wish to take or to reflect and offer some other new step. Let us make our offering.
Thank you.
Gracious God, lift up our hearts and lift up our lives to the beauty of your peace and the strength of your purpose for the world and for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The reconciled children of God, reconciled to the love that is eternal, and reconciled also to and with each other. Let us then extend to each other the best of God's gifts, the peace of Christ be with you.